Hello and welcome to this weekly edition of The Rush Hour, a more in-depth program than our usual 5 to 10 minute podcast. Coming up on today's program, we speak to Dr. Gudrun Kugler. Remember that last week I told you about a new report that documents several instances of anti-Christian hate crimes throughout Europe, as well as evidence of intolerance and discrimination. Father Federico Lombardi, director of the Vatican Press Office, lauded the report, saying it is an important offering for reflection and engagement, not only for those who work for the defense of Christianity and its values, but also all honest persons who are truly desirous to safeguard the values of tolerance and liberty of expression and religion. The report was compiled over 5 years by the Observatory on Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe, a non-profit and non-government organization based in Vienna, Austria. The organization also has a website through which it continues to monitor and catalogue instances of anti-Christian discrimination. Their director is Dr. Gudrun Kugler, who I had the honor to speak to last week over the phone from her home in Vienna. I began by asking her about a very disturbing artwork that is currently on display in the Parliament building in Vienna. Your Parliament building in Austria hosting an exhibition which displays Mary covered in a condom and sperm, and it's funded by public money and approved by the governor. Anyway, my first question is, please tell me this isn't true.
I would love to tell you, but I'm afraid even more, because this is not the only instance. We see quite a number of disrespectful works of art going rather directly against the Christian faith, and then in particular also against what is very dear to Catholics. The public funding is also not that rare. There are several instances where we see money that is obviously put aside by the government to support art, which is obviously a good idea. But then these things are funded as well. And that brings us to the more difficult question, what kind of art is legitimate? And I'm the last one to say we need a law banning art and the expression of art. However, I think we have to be very careful with besides expressing one's own viewpoints in art, to be respectful at the same time. And there's a big difference between expressing something that could actually be called a contribution to a discussion in the form of art, or something that is merely an offense aimed at hurting the feeling of people who believe that these things are very holy.
Well, it's interesting that artwork has become one of the main areas where this kind of Christianophobia has been displayed. And we've seen exactly the same thing in Australia, by the way. And there's a whole part of your report that deals with it. But anyway, tell us more about the report. I guess the idea of it was, and to use a German word, to capture the zeitgeist of our times in terms of the social and political marginalization of Christians.
Yes, absolutely. Our main idea is to contribute in the very first step of raising awareness. In Europe, and maybe that's similar for the entire Western civilization, there is a growing sentiment against Christians, and I separate this into three main areas, and that is intolerance, discrimination, and hate crimes. When you look at the area of discrimination, it's mainly a problem of laws, and that's even maybe that is the most difficult. That there are laws in many European countries that would limit or restrict the free exercise of rights of Christians. Now, obviously, mainly these, in most instances, these cases, these laws are not aiming directly at cutting freedoms of Christians, but they do so indirectly. You know that when you talk about discrimination, you would always distinguish direct from indirect discrimination, and indirect meaning that you are not aiming at discriminating a particular group of people by what, but by what you are legislating, unwantedly as a side effect, you discriminate indirectly against Christians.
And so, could you give us an example of a law that does that, indirect discrimination?
Well, in the area of freedom of expression, in Europe, many countries have laws that are called generically hate speech legislation. Well, that would mean that if you say something that would be perceived by someone else as an offense, then this would already be in the area of criminal law. So that is we see many problems here in the United Kingdom, where several times we've recorded instances of street preachers quoting the Bible, mainly, for example, on issues of homosexuality, getting arrested for that. And these poor street preachers don't stay in jail long, but they stay there for a couple of hours. They get a terrible scare. When they get there, they don't know what's going to happen, how long they're going to stay. Then in the end, they pay a fine. Sometimes the charges are dropped. This characterizes the zeitgeist at the moment. Nobody's really sure, but they don't like what was being said, so they go to jail, then they get released after a couple of hours. But there's a very intense feeling of insecurity amongst people who work directly on evangelization in the streets. Another example is freedom of conscience. You know that the European political institutions have said in numerous occasions that we have a problem in Europe of overboarding conscientious objection. Now, I'm not sure whether that's true at all, but what that means is that they would say Christian medical staff in an overboarding manner says we cannot do certain medical procedures such as in vitro fertilization or abortion or euthanasia or the usage of embryonic stem cells. And this is being portrayed as a problem of access. I have never seen statistics. I don't think that this is actually true. But what they want to do as a consequence of an alleged problem is to limit the right of conscientious objection, limit freedom of conscience, all the way up to proposing to limit freedom of conscience to the individual and taking the right away from, for example, hospitals or just any medical institution. And that would in turn mean that a Catholic hospital would have to close down. These debates are going on very, very strongly. And even if, granted, this is not aimed at violating rights of Christians, in the end, indirectly, it's a severe restriction of the rights of Christians.
And so what you've done in your report is compiled over the last 5 years, all these examples of cases, you've like compiled them all together in this one report, not just with discrimination, but with intolerance and hate crimes. Can you tell us a bit more about the method you used and what the results show?
We work on more than 40 European countries. And we have a small number of staff only. So we are signed up to every newsletter, every media that reports also online to read all the headlines in all these countries. We try to always have people that speak many different languages. But we have no possibility at the moment of saying that we are able to offer a complete picture of what's going on. But the harder cases somehow always get to our attention. We also ask people to report to us. So we have a report button on our website. And we are able to collect cases, say, in an illustrative meaning. So we know the direction that that these things are going, and we try to show that there is a real problem. Our main issue in Europe now is just that, to say here is a real problem. And when you make a new law, and when you consider how to deal with groups of people, which social policy to implement, how to broadcast on a certain issue, do consider that that we are beginning to aware that Christians are being marginalized and rights are being violated. There, just as another example, the European Union is currently debating another equal treatment directive. This would be, once it gets through, it will have the force of national law in every country. And that includes a very strong horizontal dimension, namely that anti-discrimination amongst individuals, once it comes to any economic issue, must be fully implemented. This would mean that a lawyer must represent a client who sues the Catholic Church. It would mean that an atheist designer would have to design the logo for the next World Youth Day if he was asked. It would mean that a Christian bed and breakfast would have to take in a homosexual couple. It would mean that if I rent out a flat that I inherited from my Catholic grandmother, that I would have to give it to the homosexual couple, and so on. Now, this is being debated, and the awareness that there is an indirect discrimination attached to this, to say lots of people, but especially to Christians and Catholics, is a first step in the debate of saying, I don't think that our understanding of Europe includes making such laws.
Mm. Well, I think just anyone who reads through the report will realize very quickly that there are so many instances just in the last 5 years that demonstrate that this is a reality. And some of them I remembered because I'd seen them on the news, but others I was just unaware of. And I guess some made me laugh, but others were quite shocking. One that made me laugh was March 2010, a Vienna-based lawyer wants to sue leading members of the Catholic Church on grounds of membership in a criminal organization.
Yes.
I thought that was funny. I hadn't heard of that. But I guess there's more serious ones as well, like February 2010, 12 crosses were removed from the walls of the surgery unit of the public hospital of Bad Soden in Germany while patients were watching, and the crosses were subsequently thrown into trash bags. And then also quite a number of hate crimes, including people being bashed or killed. So the situation is very serious, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. One category of instances, intolerance, that we haven't talked about much yet, I think that's also an issue that everybody, believing Christian has experienced personally. Negative stereotyping by the media. I'm sure that also in Australia this is very well known to people. That, you know, it's in a way, one, you might find that funny, but there, in every small television production, you have a quota for minorities. There's always the gay friend and the black academic and so on. But there is never the good Christian around, right? And then when in the media do you see something positive about the church? It's only advertisement when you see a monk brewing beer or making cheese. So you, in a way, you reduce the Christian input to an arbitrary well-being and eating well and so on. The marginalization of Christian ideas from the public square is another issue, where we have seen many people who would stand for Christian principles eliminated from public discourse in an insulting campaign. And as you mentioned, the removal of religious symbols from the public sphere. I mean, I'm sure that also in Australia you're very well aware of the court cases that are in the European Court of Human Rights at the moment, that where the first instance has already said in public schools the cross needs to be removed. And then people would say, well, it's a public school, why shouldn't we remove it? It's true, the state shouldn't have a certain affinity to a religion. But I'm not sure whether we would have to argue that a neutral state means to treat all religions practically in a completely similar way. Because a special cooperation with a religion that has been there in history always, that has shaped the country, that is one of the most important parts of the identity of the people, does deserve special cooperation. And a white wall in Europe, in a hospital, does not only say, we have no answer for you as you're there in your hospital, but it also favors, you could say, atheism, because in a traditionally Christian region, the removal of the Christian symbol and the subsequent white wall is not a sign of neutrality, it's just a sign that actually favors atheism.
And your report finishes by making some recommendations. Do you just briefly want to tell us what some of the most important things are that need to happen for us to move on from this sad part of Europe's history?
Well, I mean, the goal of our report, and that would be my main recommendation, is to start being aware of this problem. Because I'm sure there's still a lot of goodwill around, and people just need to see that this is actually an issue. And then we ask countries as well as the European Union to be a bit more careful with their own legislation to scrutinize carefully whether a proposed legislation would not restrict indirectly the rights of the faithful. And international human rights organizations, such as in Europe, there is the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, which is very strong on human rights. Then obviously the Council of Europe and also regional United Nations headquarters, that these international institutions also begin to look at the problem. At the moment, what they talk about most and foremost within the area of religion is Islamophobia and anti-Semitism. But it seems that there's actually no reason to overlook intolerance and discrimination as Christians. And it is still being overlooked mainly, but I think this is also due to intolerance against Christians, because a lot is just not being seen because it is in contradiction to the zeitgeist.
And if I can ask you one final question, I noticed that your organization has just put out a book entitled Exiting a Dead End Road, A GPS for Christians in Public Discourse. And the title fascinated me. And I was wondering if you could just quickly tell us a little bit about this book.
Thanks a lot for mentioning it. I think that this book would actually be also interesting for Australia because the issues should be rather similar. We have seen a strong inability of Christians in public discourse, while the wish and the will is now, I would say, largely there. But there's a lack of understanding the zeitgeist and political correctness and really how to answer the main problems. So we have compiled a guide, a navigation guide, a GPS, that would very briefly say everything that we think everybody would need to know speaking up as a Christian in public discourse. That would begin with what's wrong with the West, then in medias res, completely diving into the issue, understanding rights talk. You know that today everything is a human right, but then how do we determine what is actually a right and what isn't? responding to anti-discrimination policy, another issue. Obviously, we don't want people to be discriminated against, but you know, what's our take on this? How to confront radical secularism? How to deal with political correctness? What is actually the real meaning of freedom and tolerance? We've collected many of the great thinkers of today, and we've asked them to try to explain what they have to say on these issues within just a couple of pages. So it's very readable, and I think it could be a first step to equipping Christians with what they need to know if they want to make an impact today. So I do encourage everybody to download that book on our website, even though it was written with with a focus on Europe. The issues are very, very similar. I think that many would find that helpful.
Oh yeah, I'm sure the issues are very, very similar. And that's a great initiative. Well, and is there any final thoughts you'd like to share with us today, Gudrun, before we leave you?
I wish I could say more about the Australian situation, but I would just ask and recommend to everybody to be very much alert on how Christians are being treated there, and not to be afraid of speaking up. The church, basically you could say the church has an office in every one horse town. That is true for Europe. I'm sure it's true for Australia as well. There's a full-time staff person in every little corner in our regions. And yet we are not being heard in the public discourse, and laws are being made that indirectly discriminate us, and media reinforces prejudice against us. And somewhere here, a brick is missing. Why is the largest grassroots organization not treated well, and why is it not being heard? And maybe, so why is the largest grassroots organization not being heard? It seems to me that there is there's a missing brick when Christianity is not treated well in the media, on social occasions is not treated well, when Christianity is not respected, when laws are being made. Maybe the missing brick is what you and me and everybody can do. It's our own responsibility to bring it in. Maybe in the last 40 years, Christians have not spoken up enough with the self-confidence that they ought to have. The vision we have is not a world perfect for Christians. It's actually a world perfect for everyone. I think that a non-Christian, if he or she was intellectually honest, would prefer to live in a Christian world. So, as a concluding thought, what we stand for also with our work at the Observatory on Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe is equal rights for everyone, including for Christians. So I would like to encourage all of you, and especially Catholics in Australia, to speak with the self-confidence that they ought to have and could have, for the many causes that we stand for as Christians.
Gudrun, thank you very, very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And that's all for this week's show. The weekly edition of The Rush Hour will return again after the Christmas break. God bless you and your loved ones.